Welcome, come on, come all, to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything.
Don't
there was
everything.
No way. There was no way. There was no no way we were going to get to be able to say it at the same time. Why? Because Zach is in New York.
New York.
You're in New York City.
Hi. Isn't that exciting for me?
What are you doing?
I'm just here for work and for play and for boys and for maybe a sweet bun and just like to soak it. I've never spent more than like a week here. And so I wanted to spend like 2 weeks in New York and I'm doing it. It's baby's day out.
Oh my God. First of all, you're staying somewhere. Like earlier in the pod, you were putting out calls to people being like, if you have a place in New York and you want to swap with me. And then out of left field, you're like, oh, my friend just has like a mansion. I won't say where, but like a fucking mansion, New York, Manhattan style, overlooking one of the most incredible views I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Okay. So a friend that I know through sobriety, another point for sobriety.
And it keeps getting better.
He and his husband own a apartment on the Lower East Side. On the water. It's FDR Drive, Franklin Dornell Roosevelt Drive. It's the 20th floor. I am looking at Brooklyn. I'm right by the Williamsburg Bridge. If this pod comes out, someone could literally hunt me down by the description I'm giving.
No, there's way too many buildings. I was thinking about that too. I was like, well, all right. But no, I think there's too many buildings. It's fucking New York.
I found a comparable. It's a two bedroom. It's like... If I had to guess, it's comparable to this unit I'm looking at. It's probably 1,500 square feet.
Okay, and that's huge for Manhattan.
It looks like it's valued at 1.5, which actually seems affordable, doesn't it?
That seems too low for a two bedroom in Manhattan on the Lower East Side. Like I guess it's not Lower East Side. It's like more like Fida, whatever. But it seems too cheap. That's
too cheap.
Fake news. Yeah. That's at least a $2 to $3 million apartment.
It's so comfy, cozy. I'm very much like, it's so funny because like manifesting wise, I'm like, yes, this is mine. Like I walked into this. I own this. Like the view at the day is gorgeous. The view at night is stunning. Like
that sunset.
Oh, and if I don't go to Fire Island for 4th of July, I will have the best view of fireworks from this apartment.
Bitch, if you don't take a video and send it to me, I'll be so pissed. But isn't 4th of July Fire Island like kind of the thing? Like, isn't it kind of like the thing you do?
It is. And I will say, because I'm so vulnerable in front of you and our thousands of listeners, I'm like intimidated by Fire Island. It's very like, and the boys that, or the boy that once, who invited me is like, a sexy Broadway star. So he's never had an ounce, I don't think, of, you know, insecurity ever.
Yeah.
That's not true. He probably has. But like,
everybody
he's
has
like a stud.
Yeah.
And his boyfriend's a stud. And I'm sure all of his friends are
you're
studs.
A
and I'm
stud.
Like,
are you worried you're not like
stud?
Are you like worried you're not New York hot? Because you're New York hot. It's how you carry yourself.
Yeah, I guess it's just like, no, I actually do agree with that 1,000%. And you're right. Maybe the New York hot is like more of an amalgamation of all your parts. And LA hot is like, where are your abs?
Yeah. Twink. Yes. Yeah. But 100%.
Now, tell me everything about you. We've just met recently. We're new friends. All I know
doing
about you is that you had an abortion.
Zoom. Yeah, doing this over Zoom makes it feel so like official, like we're doing our job and I'm interviewing you in your New York summer. No, was very much like fluff talk I would have at the beginning of an interview with someone that I was like trying to kill time with. No, that's not how I feel with you. Let's see. I wrote down just like being post-pregnant and like my body and stuff right now. I'm like, some people would say milking this for all it's worth, no pun intended. But I did finally feel like the come down of all the hormones, like on Sunday, I was just hanging out with Athlete, like watching soccer, I think. I don't even remember what we were doing. We were just hanging out and I just started like crying because my sinuses were stuffed up and I was like sick of my sinuses being stuffed. I don't even know why I was crying. I was just like, I feel really weepy. I feel really weepy. And I just needed to like weep a bit. And I was like, oh, that's that. That's that drop. That's that come down. And believe it or not, I have a feeling you'll believe it. I used those 6 to 7 weeks that I was pregnant as a full-blown excuse not to go to the gym or eat normally. And totally. I gained 9 pounds, which, whatever, fine. But I'm feeling like I wasn't going to my yoga. That was like the longest break I've taken off from the gym. Like it put my body in a place where I felt very like, I don't know. It's not like I'm not typically self-conscious of my body, but I'm feeling body dysmorphia for the first time in a while.
Also, I love that baby was like, you don't want to have me. It's going to feel like you did. I'm going to give you 9 pounds. That's what I was going to be, baby.
Yeah. And like in my body was clearly like not gaining weight because of a baby. It was just gaining weight because I was eating in New York like a fucking asshole. Like the quote unquote baby was less than the size of like a pea. So it couldn't possibly weigh anything.
Oh, yeah.
But so I'm just finding my comfort and like stability in getting back to my routine right now. And like one of those damn astrology apps that I have gave me a good reminder yesterday where it's like, and I think this goes for both of us, the way we both kind of live our lives is like, we tend to only measure success in like big things and big accolades or like big events or like sold out shows or this good news coming in about the career. And sometimes success means just heading in the right direction. Like that's successful, is just to be on the right path. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I might feel like nothing fucking monumental has happened to me in the last couple weeks, but I'm still on the right path.
And you are taking baby steps.
Fuck! Yeah. How long were you swallowing that one in? Like, how long were you?
It was a minute. I was like, let her talk, let her talk, let her talk, let her talk. Because when I realized, well, I did honestly, it came from a genuine aspect of like, I agree with you. Like, because I come from like, did I not drink? Did I not like abuse something? Did I like not yell? I'm taking baby steps in the direction I want to be going. Like,
yes.
So it really was coming from a point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know what I did do? That was, you'll be happy for me. I did my first like actual stand-up show on Sunday or Saturday. I performed like at a live show with like 60 people for.
It was a daytime show.
7 minutes. Yes, which I love. And also calling in, manifesting that energy for our podcast show when we go do our West Coast tour. We want to do like daytime brunches or like early matinees because we know who we are and the age group of people that we're trying to attract. It's not a 7 p.m. nighttime thing.
Well, you know what we could start to do? And this could be in a good effort to get you doing more stand-up, is we could do a monthly like brunch show called like Chaos and Kisses and book like 3 girl, gay, or they comics. And like we host. So we do like a bunch of like this, like housekeeping up top. And then we bring up our favorite like queer comics.
Why are we not doing that?
Because I'm in New York, honey. And you need to lose 9 pounds.
No. You're right. We're all fucking busy this summer. What have you been seeing in New York? You said you went and saw a play. And what are you going to see?
So I saw a musical called Titanic. Have you heard of it?
I went two weeks ago. My friend Phil is an executive producer on it. What'd you think?
It was so, and I say this because I love this stuff, dumb. It was so dumb. And for those of you who don't know, it's a retelling of Titanic from what Celine Dion can remember about it. So
she was there.
the characters are insane. She's like the narrator. She pops in and out. The talent is so good. Everyone had incredible voices, and the comedy was just incessant. There were jokes. Like, it was like a 30 Rock episode, yes. Sort of.
Did you?
And then
I was gonna say my favorite parts were like you can tell they decide to improv one little piece of a scene. And the way I was pissing my fucking pants, like every show, she decides to improv this one little like 2 minute scene. And it's so good.
Where they like battle or whatever.
Yes.
The Jack and Rose. Yes. It was very, very funny. And then one of the driving forces of getting to meet you in New York is to see Oh Mary on Broadway. It's Cola Scola's play. He plays Mary Todd Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's wife, I think it's 2 weeks leading up until his assassination. And like, he did no research. He just went with an idea that Mary Todd Lincoln was probably like an alcoholic former cabaret star.
That's
all I know about it. But my little sister, I got us tickets, and she's flying in for like 36 hours so we can see it on the 5th of July.
She's literally flying in for 36 hours.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
This is summer, though, baby. Like, this to me is fucking summer. We're doing kooky stuff. We're flying places. I have to go to Rome in less than a month for a wedding.
Oh, my God, for the wedding.
Yes, and I don't know if I'm gonna, like, literally just go to Rome and then fly back because...
No, don't do that.
But I don't think I need to take a big, long European vacation by myself.
I mean, you kind of done it before, haven't you?
You want to come?
When is it?
The first week of August.
I'm a hard maybe. I actually have a lot. Do you hoard points? I hoard points on my credit cards.
How many?
So
you got?
I have probably close to 200K on.
Oh my
Amex.
God, that is a lot.
Yeah, but I also, when I go to look at things, I'm like, I think I'd rather spend the money because I feel like it doesn't get you a lot. Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, you need a lot of fucking points to book something where you're like, wow, I paid nothing for that.
Otherwise,
if it doesn't cover the whole thing, it's more of a pain in the ass. Like, why do I have a fucking credit card, dude, if not for free perks and shit?
We live in a points-driven society now where you should be spending all your money on credit cards and paying them all off.
Every month, baby.
And I'm seeing a boy tonight.
Wait, what?
He is a flame that has never gone out, and he is such good vibes, and he is a performer, and he's so cute, and he just got a new dog, and I always see him in LA. Actually, I saw him last time I was in New York, too, when I came to do Good Morning America last year. He came over, and it was a rainy night in New York, and we, like, ordered Chinese food and like fooled around, and it was like really, really nice. Like that's a dream date.
This is a hookup date, like for sure.
I've been dirty texting with him, so I assume so.
What do you do, like where do you go on a New York date?
Girl, we're gonna find out. I might try to convince him just to come here because it's so,
because you have a mansion.
Yeah, there's like a balcony. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's gorgeous. But I'm also down to like travel to him. I think he's in Brooklyn. So
I will say, I always have such a fun, like when I go out in New York City, when I leave wherever I am, I'm like out for the day. Like there is no shortage of things to do. Coffee shops to sit in.
Same.
Stores to shop about. Like popping in here, popping out there, walking around this place. Like I'm beat every time I go to New York.
Here's the thesis I've come to with New York. Like, would I live here? Yes. Could I live here? Debatable. Because, and you will probably understand this, you and I live a treat-driven lifestyle in which we do a little work, we get a treat. We do something hard, we get a treat. We meet a deadline, we get a treat. Here, there are treat qualifying obstacles constantly. Like, I made it home alive. Treat. I didn't get blisters. Treat. I walked through a sneeze on the sidewalk. Treat. I keep going like, you did it. Like, get a treat.
Dude, the fact that I consider it a win if I can get on the subway going the right way.
Yes.
And I lived there 4 years.
No,
like
it's
every
so
time
true.
I go, I'm like, oh, is this a new one? Is this a-? And they're like, a new subway line? I'm like, yeah, when did you guys get this one? They're like, the beginning of New York City. Like, it's been
like
here.
1910, I think. Yeah.
That's so fucking funny, dude. Oh my God. Okay. Well, fun. I love that we've felt so fun, flirty summertime, because you know there's nothing I love more than ruining a fun time. So when we come back, I'm going to ruin your day. You ready, Zach?
I'm so ready, bitch. You try.
Get your learning cap on, guys, because it's time to learn some shit. We'll be right back. Confident bottoms, it is that time of month again for me, but I do not need to suffer from cravings, bloating, PMS, because I am taking Hormone Harmony, right? Okay, if you feel a little bit down or off or struggle to find comfort in your body, maybe you experience bad sleep quality, you need to support your hormonal balance and regulation, which is why I started taking Hormone Harmony. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. So here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that just happen naturally throughout a woman's life. But Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause or perimenopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold too. If you suffer from hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, or low moods, yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Kelsey at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Kelsey for 15% off today.
Hey everyone, if you've got allergies, this is for you. Imagine a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding your friend's house because they have a kitty cat.
Hey, we have cats.
I know. Thanks to Curex, allergies are no longer something you have to just deal with. They're optional.
Tell me more!
Over 100 million Americans suffer from allergies, and they're not just an inconvenience. Allergies are the number one reason people miss work.
Seriously, Zach, I have had so many freaking sinus infections due to allergies, and that is 100% why I have missed work and canceled on you for this podcast. So tell me more.
It's a family issue.
It's affecting our friendship.
Here's the good news. Allergies can be treated effectively and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you could start feeling real relief. It's easier than brushing your teeth, which you should also start doing.
Thank you.
These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science. Ooh. Ever heard of it? With hundreds of studies from top institutions like Harvard Medical School.
Oh my God.
And the Mayo Clinic. Not mayonnaise, Mayo. In fact, in Europe, they're the go-to treatment for allergies.
We love Europeans.
You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Curex is the largest online allergy clinic, and they've already changed thousands of lives. The reviews are incredible. So, if you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, which I know you are, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month. Ooh. And if you sign up now, Curex is currently running a promotion and you can save 80% off the $49 sign up fee. Go to getcurex.com. That's GETCUREX.com. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex. Go to getcurex.com. That's GETCUREX.com.
Hello, hello. It is wedding season. And if you're getting deep into the wedding season like we are, whether you're the bride, a bridesmaid, more like actually me, or a guest, that's Zach. Birdie Gray is about to be your new bestie. They've got the cutest, most affordable dresses that are perfect for any vibe. Birdie Gray believes that everyone in a wedding should look and feel great without breaking the bank. That's why all of their bridesmaid dresses start at just $99, and each one is so carefully designed with fabric, fit, and color in mind. They are so freaking cute. You can also just use their dresses as a wedding guest. You don't have to be a bridesmaid. From chic black tie gowns to flirty floral garden party dresses, Birdie Gray has it all. And for the brides, they also have a beautiful collection of budget-friendly little white dresses, all under $150. Visit birdiegray.com now to get your first 5 swatches for free with code Kirdrygrey.com/Kelsey. That's BIRDYGREY.com. Find your perfect palette. I love how delayed this is because of our...
I did it on purpose, like, that time.
Oh, okay. I was like, you were like 4 minutes off. Okay. Zachary, we do our very best on this podcast to avoid politics because we are out of mind, out of sight girlies. Like, if we keep it out of our minds, we keep it out of our sights. I'm scrolling past things that make me feel like ass. However, we have now entered the phase of the year where it's actually really important to be paying attention to shit. Because I don't know about you, but when the first debate came on the other week, I was like transported back in time where I was like, oh no, I haven't had to pay attention like this or give a fuck for a blissful 4 years. Yes, there's crazy shit that's been going on, but I haven't had that like visceral anger. And watching the election, watching the debates
yeah.
At the same time, I got hired to consult and help write for a liberal party, whatever, marketing thing. And basically this company like does research on voters and it tries to understand how people are going to vote. What do they care about? So like when you see all those ads that are like, here's how people are feeling after the debate, like this voter is like 54, a construction worker, and voted for Trump last time. Here's how he feels now. And then you swipe and it's like this woman's like 18 and voting for the first time. Or like this person's non-binary and works at Target and blah, blah, blah. So they do stuff like that. And they told me like their biggest concern with the election cycle this year is the overwhelmed voter. So like the person who almost feels like it's so rigged at this point, it's so fucked, or like their vote truly can't sway whichever way it's gonna go. Like, it's almost like we tried our best. Like, we tried to either get Trump in or out, depending on how they voted. But, like, they just can't be bothered anymore. And so we were really trying to write these marketing scripts for that kind of person. And I realized that when they were reading the prompts of, like, because they don't know about this. Or, like, they don't even realize that, like, this could affect them. And I'm reading the script and I'm going, oh, I didn't even know that was happening. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it was going on. Before I get into like what we're talking about, what is your feeling? Like, how does that resonate with you?
It doesn't. It doesn't. Like, to me, I see it barely. It was summed up best for me in a tweet that it's like you're voting for an administration, mm-hmm. and like, whether or not that Biden is the face of it or a fucking potato is the face mm-hmm. of it, I'm voting for that way of life.
Right.
Now it's come down to Trump wants to introduce a new type of politics. Like,
yeah.
What we're about to talk about, I feel like, is like more of a monarchy, mm-hmm. someone who cannot be replaced, mm-hmm. like someone who is literally threatening democracy.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's as simple as that. I know how I'm voting. I know how I would talk to people. And this is where the out of sight, out of mind comes. And I know it's an extension of white privilege to say mm-hmm. that even because like, oh, you know, like I don't have to think about it. But it's more so that like, I don't know how to approach someone who is on the fence mm-hmm. about who to vote for. Like 100%. I kind of understand people who are like, I'm not going to vote. And because it's like overwhelmed, like you said, but if you are actually debating Trump, you must be someone who hates minorities and freedom.
And that's such a good point because I posted something the other day about similar to the message you were saying of like you're voting party, not person at this point. And I actually got a lot of replies back of people saying like, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but maybe I'm going to vote for third party. And like the two-party system is broken. Like we need to dismantle, like they need to understand that it's not working. And as much as I completely understand that sentiment and wish like we could just use one election to completely dismantle the two-party system, it's not realistic when we have Trump as an option. Like, do that next time when there's like less toxic people in charge of deciding the world.
Do that at a small local level. You have to make change like that from local government level and like all grow that way. You can't start at the top like that. That doesn't, it will never work. I don't think you will ever get enough people to take a chance on a third party when the two most popular ones are always neck and neck.
And it's, I, again, like, I think we've never been more divided. Like, we've never been more guilty on both sides. Like, Biden funding the war, like, Trump's fucking just existence in the world. Like, it feels too important to use this election as, like, a time to make a statement as not liking the country's way of doing things as a whole, which I completely understand and agree with.
I will also say that, like, that is, I sound so old. That's such, like, a young person. It's a naive perspective. It's like, I don't want to and I don't have to. It's like, okay. Like, you, okay. Just know that you are literally contributing to Trump's votes when you take that stance.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like what we're about to talk about is called Project 2025. And I feel like when I was thinking about why isn't this more like widely being spread by people? Like, why isn't this why doesn't more people know about this? Why don't people know about this and like wanting to do a whole episode on this? And I was just thinking of like, maybe it's because Trump has always ran with his whole pussy out, like just lying about shit. And like, you know what you're getting with him. And I guess maybe this wouldn't surprise people, but I feel like if one person can hear this and decide not to vote third party and instead vote blue, or like send this to someone who's thinking about voting MAGA and vote blue, like then we've done our job. Because when I heard about Project 2025, I was like, wait, this is public information? Like, they're outwardly saying this stuff? Like, they're
it's
genuinely...
It's a 900-page book.
Yes. Okay, so then let's get into it. Let's talk about Project 2025. So Project 2025 is essentially a foundation that has created Trump's second term plan if he is to win. And the company that is written this is called the Heritage Foundation, which already... sounds bad. Like the Heritage,
it's like a religious fundamentalist group or something.
Yes. And their outward statement, all of this, you can read the entire plan. It's like Zach said, almost 1,000 pages. It's on their website, Project 2025. And like their slogan is something that's like for conservative America. So it's just so outwardly saying this is what Trump's plan is for when he wins. So something to focus on when talking about Project 2025, there are three components. So I want to talk about the first one. This one is important because, like you said, Trump is hell-bent on essentially creating a new type of America, a new type of dictator-led government. They're trying to change from within that we as voters have no chance of being able to touch. This is stuff that like only he can do. So the first sector is in his firings. So if he were to become president, he plans to fire over 50,000 major positions in government programs. So thinking about like the FDA, science organizations, doctors, the CDC, like just basic government jobs that create the way we exist in the world, like how we are taken seriously, how we are flopping the bag, how do we do research, how do we exist, what are our morals in the country. So like I said, positions at science research centers, doctors at the FDA, accountants at the IRS, places you want to have experts in the expert positions. And he's going to replace them with MAGA loyalists to use their power to change the nature of America without needing to involve voters. So it's like, oh, we at the CDC, we don't do this anymore. And it's like, well, what do you mean? Like, we have no power to change that if he switches out the positions. So over, I think, 4 million people work in government positions, and they're expecting to be firing a lot of them.
Wow.
Yeah. It feels gross when it's like nothing we can do about it.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, we don't have the power.
Spread the word.
Yeah, like, we don't have the power. Like, if he decides he wants to, like, fire people, it's not something that we have a say in. Like, we didn't vote for
it's
those
insane.
People.
It's insane. Also, though, this is a sidebar. With the Supreme Court ruling that no president can be held
accountable
responsible,
for, yeah,
couldn't Biden have Trump?
Yeah.
Right now?
Technically,
in theory?
Yes. Yeah.
I wish he would do it.
The other thing you bring up a good position point and position in voting blue this time around is because there are Supreme Court seats up for election. And right now we're obviously outnumbered. And so if Trump were to name those new seats, this will not only affect us for his presidency, but for potentially a decade to come. So that's why it's like, yes, we understand why you're mad, but like, there's too much at stake here to waste a vote. The second key component of Project 2025 to understand is that they talk about porn being outlawed, but it's not just regular porn, right? Like, they're not coming for your heterosexual pornhub.com. What they deem as porn is anything that is LGBTQIA+. So this, they say in their Project 2025 document, is to ensure a well-ordered society, anything that is not a man married to a woman and their children. So by outlawing books or movies, anything that can advertisement, anything that contains queer couples in depiction, they're also going to pass a law that would give companies the permission for any company to discriminate against LGBT people. And obviously their big goal is to outlaw same-sex, overturn the same-sex marriage. They get you with the porn hook, and then they're like, but what is porn? It's just queer people existing. Like, how sexy are we that they're so, like, threatened?
Wait, no, I'm so glad we can joke about it, because it's like, that's the first step in, like, rounding us up. And like,
yes,
jailing.
Well, I'm
or executing.
Glad you put that up, because that is a part of part three that you have to worry about, is literally the rounding up of people and putting them in holding camps. So Project 2025 is Trump's plan to make us a militarized police state, so that only the police answer to only the president. So Trump and his cabinet would literally take over local law enforcement that you and I elected, persecute any DA that is not doing what they want, and would strip the FBI of their political independence and reduce the number of military generals, so more people have to answer to the president as their higher power. So literally, like, they'll come in and be like, oh, the local law enforcement works for president now. So like, anything president
says, they
can enforce.
So there's no state and federal. It's like all federal.
Right. Also, Trump's plan for immigration deportation is meant to be treated as war. So literally that they would be like rounding up war criminals.
Prisoners of war.
Enemies. And delivering people to mass holding camps, which AKA would turn into these mass concentration camps.
Ooh.
Yeah. Another big one. So those are like the three big ones. But another like big portion of this is talking about reproductive health, which we love talking about recently on this podcast. So Project 2025 includes banning abortion. Medications would also be banned because they want to change the law to be life begins at conception. And they would obviously make it harder for queer people to adopt or get IVF treatments, and they would ban the abortion pill. So right now the abortion pill is legal to be delivered in all 50 states. Even where abortion is illegal, you can still order the pill to you, but they would try to discontinue the even allowance of an abortion pill.
I have a
question. Even if you're like have a miscarriage and need to expel a pregnancy, you still wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay. But in the horrible nightmare scenario where Trump wins the election, don't we still have checks and balances that prevent the president from...
No. Literally, really? Like, part of like the campaign is it literally said this as a point, and I didn't write it down because I just thought it was so insane, but it says like remove checks and balances.
But like he can do that. Why didn't he do that at his first presidency?
Because he didn't have, I don't think, the, remember how he like fired four like versions of his own cabinet?
Yeah.
Like he didn't have his own house together, essentially. Like he was too busy banning people and firing people that were trying to prevent this for him.
Wow. Wait. This is okay. This also brings up the point that a lot of, have you heard of the silent vote? Republicans who are going to quietly vote for Biden?
Oh, no, but I love this.
Yeah, I know. There's Republicans out there, a group, like a large group of Republicans who are going to quietly vote for Biden because they do, like Republicans at heart do believe in America and democracy.
Yeah.
Like the Republican Party, they might be conservative and they might not love everything like Roe v. Wade and stuff, but like they don't want the Trump thing either.
That's a good point. I was posting about the abortion, I did have a lot of people, especially in the clip that we like joked about, like keep your religion out of Christ free coochie. A lot of people did respond like, I'm a Christian and I believe in abortion. I was like, okay. Maybe the second generation of the like Gen Z Republican kids, maybe. But then I just think of those like MAGA loving fucking like white boys in like suits for no reason that are.
You know what's a real big bummer? Is this is all because like we do not value education in the United States of America. If people were, if we pumped as much money into public schools as we did into like the military, we would have an educated, free-thinking, progressive country. Because, like, whatever your beliefs are, and you... I definitely think that the most progressive or the most, like, informed person is a liberal person. Like, they give more rights than take away. People who take away rights from people don't believe in equality, you know?
See, I want to believe that's true. And then my mind immediately goes to the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, where they had that school where it was like the top smartest kid in the city. And they were like, we, as the smartest people in the room, we need to control, you know, like we need to figure out a way to still be able to, because isn't like, do you consider smart doesn't necessarily equal empathetic? Smart doesn't necessarily equal...
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, you're completely right. I guess I was thinking, like, with public schools... Like, that sounds like a private school. What you just described sounds like a...
It probably was.
But also, yeah, I mean, Hunger Games largely is about, like, a tyrannical government. With, like, a dictator, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. There was, like, you brought up, like, the Department of Education. There's a Republican senator that was watching a video of him, like, doing a stupid, like, speech in front of a bunch of people thing. And he was like, we're going to dismantle the CDC. We're going to dismantle the FDA. We're going to dismantle the Department of Education because the people that have those jobs weren't supposed to even have them in the first place. And I'm like... Who, what, like, if it's not American citizens that are supposed to have these jobs, who, Like, who do you think is?
It's so
like AI. Baffling. Like, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. You've rendered me speechless.
That is rare. You not talking? Never heard of her. Well, just to add flame to the fire, let me tell you a couple more little fun tidbit facts that are part of Project 2025. Their plan is to end overtime pay.
What a weird...
Why?
What a weird goal.
It's so weird. He also wants to slaughter wild horses.
What?
Where? Like, what is that an issue? Do to you? Yeah.
Wait, is there a reasoning? Is there a sub-blurb, like, because of this?
I didn't see why, but it makes it sound like there's wild horses, like, trampling through cities. Like, we have a really big overpopulation horse problem.
That's wild.
I feel like we have enough horse girls out there that could, like, manage that for us.
I just didn't know it was an issue until right now. Or, like, honestly, give horses, like, the state of Montana.
Just give them all that free middle America pasture. Yeah. Like,
we have room.
Like, we don't need to kill them. I don't know. That just seems so aggressive. They're also big. And I feel like if we start taking them out, they might, like, come for us, you know?
You know what, Kelsey? If there is, like, a Trump regime headed our way, I hope some prehistoric ocean monster comes up and puts us all in our place. I want that. Like, I do. I'd much rather that be in charge than Trump.
I hope if there is some sort of, like, dictatorship that come, that horses choose us, the liberals. Yeah, I want horses to be on our... We need horses. You've never seen a war without horses. And we need... Horses, come to us. We have snacks and abortions on our side, you know?
Actually, you know what? I want to know... Okay, the people behind AI who are making, like, fake people, fake robots, fake horses, say, they have to be pretty liberal. Like, there's no way those are Bible-thumping MAGA idiots.
I don't think so. I think you're right. Like, I have to think the world's smartest coders and, like, hackers are liberal. But then you get...
So don't... Yeah.
You get Antifa. You get, like, the other extreme. Because didn't you watch that Netflix doc about, like, 4chan? Probably not. You hate docs and education. There was a 4chan documentary that came out that was, like... Those people, like, the smartest hackers in the world, and they're almost like they hit incel.
Oh. Wait, what? Who was anonymous? Wasn't that like a brief, like, respite?
It split. It split. Like, the original, I think, ideation of anonymous was liberal, but then it got split into people that were actually... It was people that
anarchists
were starting out as, like, trolls that turned into social justice warriors, which was, like, yay for us. And then I think there was a subset that were, like, I was starting off as, like, troll behavior, and then I just went, like, incel. It did split. It's a good...
If there are any social justice warrior tech nerds out there listening
to this,
I will suck you off.
I don't know how you got into my brain to know what I was thinking, but my first thought was, like, would you ever fucking incel just to turn them?
Well, if they were an incel for social justice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be ass up somewhere and be like, babe, just do it.
Get it over with. A real American.
This is why I think we should have, like, as many glory holes as we have Tesla superchargers.
What?
I'm just saying, if incels could stick their wee-wees through holes in the wall and get a little jerky jerky sucky sucky, I don't think we'd be in such, like, a high tension environment.
Yeah, because guess what? They don't know who we're putting on the other side of those glory holes.
No, we'll put a little robot.
I love the idea that it's a robot mouth that's, like, so human-like.
And the robot's, like, crying.
And it's like, it makes all the noises.
Even at, like, 3-inch wiener, it's like, oh, no, you're so big.
We'll provide the audio for that.
Yes.
If you
Perfect.
Guys are They also plan to eliminate the Head Start early education program that serves over 1 million children annually and end Obamacare and push 33 million people to enroll towards a worse private insurance option. Yeah, and in case it wasn't obvious, they want to overturn same-sex marriage, remove protections for LGBT students, and ban transgender service members, which feels like... If you're trans and in the military, like, why do you care if they're trans? They're in the military. Like, why do you need your soldiers to be cisgender?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Even in the Clinton administration, it was don't ask, don't tell. They didn't even want gay guys in. So that, like, that close-mindedness still exists. And, like, people just don't like trans people. I wish there was a deeper explanation.
I feel like it's like they're doing you a fuck your side a favor being in the military. Like,
oh, 1,000,000%. But like, think about like how many crimes happen to women in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so shocking that women still even join.
You throw a man who happens to have a vagina into barracks or whatever.
Yeah.
That man is going to get... Yeah. I mean, he's going to be in more danger going to bed than on the battlefield.
Damn, you're right. Well, that's just the tip. That's just the tip of the iceberg of Project 2025. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, I need to include some sort of like call to action, some sort of like ribbon to tie this up neatly to how do we stop it, like how do we make this not happen and make it better. And I think the message was truly just like, you have to vote blue no matter who.
Well, wait, what did the marketing say for the overwhelmed voter? Like, I bet they hate hearing you have to do something.
Yes, like they don't want to be told what to do. They also don't want to be called out for like not knowing things. It was to get, this is going to sound a little like dim, but you have to get celebrities, influencers, and non-political people in media to start talking about just the basic idea of like, you should vote, like everyone should vote, like, let's just vote and get this over with so that we can get back to regularly scheduled programming. So like emphasizing the importance of just at least voting. And then once they look into that, like at least doing your own kind of research sort of thing. But not here. We don't have to worry about that. We can just straight up fucking tell you vote blue no matter who.
Yeah, vote.
Vote blue.
Actually, I never understood the concept of like just vote. No, don't just vote.
Yeah,
vote for who I want you to vote for. Yeah.
I know, but like you have to just assume and hope and think that if people don't want to be told what to do, that they'll at least do the right thing when they can get their hands on all the information, right? Because like I said, the fact that this Project 2025 isn't more widely like shouted from the rooftops is terrifying to me.
It also makes me feel a little bit like it's not something we have to worry as much about, because I feel like it would be literally everyone talking about it all over the place. Well, no, I guess Trump won the first election and we weren't talking about that.
And people like hate Biden. They just like don't want Biden, which is like, I get it.
This is where I like don't understand though. Like hate Trump.
Yeah.
That I understand. Listen, okay, we're like a sovereign nation, which means we have like weaponry and an army and we have to put our fucking dick on the table. Yeah. So there is no president between red and blue who would have been able to handle anything that Biden's handled any better.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think.
No.
I don't think. I look at Biden, I'm like, yeah, I trust that man.
Harmless.
That man ultimately has Americans... good, yes. You know, good on his mind.
Exactly.
Like, that is not Trump. Trump wants to be the most popular, feared person in the room. Mm-hmm. And like, anyway, you all, this is an echo chamber at this point, but like,
no, yeah, but like, blue. You're right. Like, in the vein of what we would appreciate from you guys is, like, we want to get back to talking about dicks and dating and balls and pussy and tits. Like, I would love to just go back to our regularly scheduled programming. So make sure a friend of yours hears this. Make sure an acquaintance knows about it, at least. Bring it up at your fucking next family barbecue.
Oh, also, there's this thing, this rhetoric in, like, liberal states that always go blue that people are like, at least I don't have to vote. Like, it'll go blue. Please vote for the popular vote's sake to show the numbers of people who support blue over red.
Good.
So even if you are in a place that always goes blue, vote. Still, and you, there are other things on the ballot that you're going to need to vote for. So
the down ballot, baby. That's all we have for this exact. Do you want to promote anything?
I'm headlining the Improv in Brea, California on August 15th.
Yeah,
it's an 8 p.m. show on a Thursday. I'm sure I'll drag Kelsey there.
I'll be there.
And listen to After Hours, my other podcast, which is all about sex. Oh, and I want to promote this podcast, Confidently Insecure. Like, subscribe, and share it with a friend. We need more glowing 5-star reviews because it helps the algorithm know more about us. So if you're a loyal listener, a confident bottom, please like 5 stars, leave a review, and share it with just anybody, any queer person who might end up in jail if Trump gets the presidency. Yes.
And speaking of, very well said, Zachary. I'm very proud of you for that. We still have so many of our stickers, our Confident Bottom and Slut Pill stickers. If you want one, all you have to do is Venmo us what you think it's worth. Unless you want me to ship it internationally, then you have to at least include $2 to Kelsey-Dara and what kind of sticker you want. And make sure to put your address in the comments. And you can get some stickies. And they're so cute. I still think we should make Christ Free Coochie stickers.
I do too. I was trying to think of what that looks like, though. If you have any idea for what that looks like,
maybe it's
please
Jesus,
let us know.
Like this, but instead of Jesus's face, it's a vagina, and it looks like a little
That'd
Hail Mary.
Or what if it's Jesus poking out of a vagina? Like,
I like that, the idea of a rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Zach, it's great to catch up. I know you're in New York, but don't forget about home. Don't forget about us. I know you're having a ball.
Trust me, I couldn't forget LA if I tried. Or you.
Good. Goddamn right. All right. Enjoy your hot dogs this 4th of July. I hope you had sunscreen on, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.